We turn in our study of wisdom to Proverbs chapter 1. We shall be reading the verses 20 to 33 today. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. Once again, we have the tremendous privilege of reading God's word together. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way, and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. What an amazing portion of God's word. What a statement on our world today. A saving message proclaimed, a heartfelt promise given, a clear warning issued. A saving message proclaimed. Here, the writer of the book of Proverbs speaks of wisdom crying aloud in the street. He speaks of her voice being raised in the marketplace. In the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance to the city gates, her voice is heard. 2,000 years ago, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. What an amazing thing. God, in the person of his Son, came to earth. The Creator of heaven and earth came to earth. The God who said, "Let there be earth," came to that earth. The God who took dust and shaped it into the form of a man and breathed into that form life, came and took that human life for himself. He did not consider equality with God in heaven something to be grasped at with such a tenacity that his grip could not be broken. But he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He set aside all the glory of heaven and became confined to human form. He had to learn how to eat, how to talk, how to walk. He learnt the everyday, ordinary things of human life. And this is God. Why? Why did he who filled the circumference of the earth become but a speck upon its surface? Why did God come to earth in the person of a son? He came to live and to die. Why? To provide the only way of salvation for mankind. There is no other name under heaven by which a man or a woman or a young person can be saved than through the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other way of salvation. There is no other way of salvation. And this amazing message, this phenomenal message, this astonishing message, this unbelievable message, this is a message that has been proclaimed throughout the streets of the world for the 2,000 years since. This message of wisdom through the gospel of Jesus Christ cries aloud in the street. Here we are, Northbridge Street in Airdrie, ML6 6NE. The word of God is being proclaimed on the street in this community this morning. And you can go through this town, and there are churches in this town where there are men who are proclaiming the same message. Sadly, there are also churches in this town where this message is not being proclaimed. But we give thanks to God for every church in this community where the Word of God is being faithfully preached. This gospel goes out into this community through our lives, through the way in which we live our lives on a day-to-day basis. The people we meet in school, the people we meet in the workplace, the people we meet who come to our homes, the people we meet as we go about doing our daily business, we are living testimonies to the reality of this life-changing message of the gospel. As we live for Jesus Christ, we declare to this community that Jesus Christ is real. as we make good decisions and as we proclaim to them that we will not engage with them in their activities, that we see their way as darkness, as we see their way as foolishness, as we don't participate with them, we call them to consider a different way of life. We may not always verbalize it. Maybe we don't verbalize it enough. Maybe we should be more forward. Maybe we should take this passage a little more literally. The session we'll be considering at its next two session meetings, how we can engage more directly through ministry in the streets of our time. We will be looking at, are there ways in which we as a church can get into this community and directly speak to this community with a greater degree of authority and power? Maybe for too long we've sat back and we've considered our own weaknesses and we've considered our own feelings and we've become too involved with each other, become too consumed with the wee things that are issues in our lives, and we've lost sight of the necessity to go out and take the life-changing power of the gospel to those who are out there in darkness. The gospel has gone out, not only from this place, but throughout the streets of this town. And across the world, the gospel goes out. Millions and millions of people today, millions and millions and millions of people today will hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A saving message that has been proclaimed. A heartfelt promise given. Verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? How long? How long? The gospel we read in verse 20 and 21 has cried out. It has cried out in the streets. It has cried out in the streets. And now the refrain comes, how long? Here is a heartfelt plea. How long are you going to keep doing this? You have in these two words a sense of not anger, not even frustration. But you have a sense of yearning love. It's as though the writer is looking into the eyes of men and women and saying to them, you have heard of Jesus Christ. You have heard that He is the only way of salvation. You have heard of your need of salvation. You have heard of how God has sent His Son as the instrument of the means by which you can be saved. How long? How long will you hear it? How long will it come to you? How many times do you need to listen? How many times do you need to hear those words pass across your ears? How long will you sit and listen and not deal with what you're hearing? How long will you sit and hear and not respond? How long? What is it within you that prevents you from doing that which is right? What is it? What stubbornness of heart? What anger? What angst is there within you that causes you to resist such a glorious message? How long? How long? How long? It's heartfelt. It understands. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? He's talking here of people who live as if there is neither a God nor is there an eternity. Their understanding is blinded by their love of sin. Men delight in being informed. Men and women like to know the facts of a situation. It's amazing how people want to know every detail of a gossiped conversation. Tell me, what did he say? What did she say? What did they do? There's great intrigue in finding out all the little aspects of human life. And yet, in this area of eternal life, there is a desire to be ignorant. Ignorant of their true position. Ignorant of their true condition. They want to be ignorant of the true calamity in which their souls are resting. They love simplicity. They are ignorant of the condition of their souls. And they don't want to know. They don't want to hear. They don't want to be enlightened. They don't want anyone to come and to tell them, to break in, as it were, upon their simple ignorance. You go and you speak to them. And you speak to people, whether on the doorstep or you speak to them in the community. And you engage with them concerning the life that is to follow. Oh, I have my own church I go to. That's good. Which church is it? Oh, it's that one down. Where is it now? You know down there? Down that? So it's down there. I've just forgotten the name of it. And you were there on Sunday. No, I haven't been there. I wasn't there on Sunday. You go regularly? I go regularly. When was the last time you've been? Oh, it was at Christmas time. Keep it simple. I don't want to know. I've got my own religion. I've got my own church. I want to keep it simple. I don't want to be challenged about the reality of my life. I don't want to consider the fact that God knows me, that He has searched me, that He knows my innermost hearts. I don't want to hear that there is a God, even though I know there is a God. I don't want that fact that I am suppressing the truth about God in my life. I don't want anything to shake that it might rise to the top. I have worked hard to suppress the truth that there is a God in my life. I have laid in layers and layers upon my life that have been continually declaring to me the fact there is no God. I don't really want to start anybody hoking about in there so that in case some of that structure would start to fall apart and disassemble and the reality of God would begin to rise up into my conscious awareness. I just want to keep a simple life. I just want to be free. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long, scoffers, will scoffers delight in their scoffing? Scoffers, the scorner, the one who neither fears nor has any shame, who knows no remorse of heart, who takes an active delight in scorning the things of God. They respond, oh, you're keen on Christianity, are you? Oh, you're one of these really serious, godly people, are you? Well, I feel sorry for you that you need to live your life on such a crutch. I feel sorry that that's the way you have to live your life. Any earnestness, anything about seeking after God is in the eyes of the scoffer seen as a sign of weakness. The term saint is a term that speaks of one who is set apart, sanctified by the Spirit to live in a holy relationship with God. But the word saint to the scoffer speaks of weakness and foolishness. You're a hypocrite. You can't live a normal life. You can't live with the real world. I live in a different plane from you. I don't need the crutch of a religion to get through my life. Such is a scoffer's refrain. Such is their words of wisdom. But you see, God comes and He says, how long? How long will you scoff? How long will you delight in your scoffing? How long will you have this rebellion against me? How long will the simple one hate the knowledge of truth? How long will the scoffer hate the knowledge of truth? How long will the fool continue on in this way of life? And that's where they're at. These ones who say, I don't want to know. I have my God. I have my religion. I don't want to know anymore. I don't want you to dig around in my life. I don't want to ask any serious questions. I just want it to be kept simple. I'm sure that Jesus, at the end of the day, will open up the pearly gates and I'll get in. I don't want to hear the reality of who Jesus Christ is. I don't want to hear the reality that that's not true. Just let it stay nice and simple. Foolishness. Foolishness and a hating of knowledge. Here's a message that is the most important message in the world. The message of the only way of salvation. And men and women want to. They don't want to know it. They don't want to know it. I want to remain ignorant. I want to remain simple. Or they laugh at it. And they scoff at it. And they scorn it. As nonsense, as a crutch, as something to be despised, as a sign of weakness. How long? The message is proclaimed, the heartfelt promise comes. The heartfelt promise understands, the heartfelt promise calls. If you turn at my reproof. You see, surely God should say, well, if you don't want to hear the message, if you want your simple life, then you can have your simple life. If you want to scoff at the truth, then you can scoff at the truth. But here in verse 23, we see the amazing mercy of God and the grace of God. And surely how we should give thanks to God for our mercy and grace. For was it not us who were the simple, and was it not we who were the scoffers? God says, I cannot move, I cannot turn, but you can turn. You can turn if you hear my reproof, if you hear my rebuke, if you will hear and you will listen, and you will take note of the fact of your simplicity and of your scoffing. If you will but listen. And hear the reality of your condition. And if you will turn, behold, he says, and look at this promise. Look at this promise. I will pour out my Spirit to you. I will pour. Here is God saying, I will pour my Spirit upon you. God the Holy Spirit will come. And we know that when Christ came and Christ ascended up into heaven, who did he send into the world? In such a magnificent way, it was the Holy Spirit came, the comforter, the consoler, the counselor of his people. The Spirit will come. And not only that, I will make my words known to you. Those words that are darkness and ignorance, a folly to the ungodly. God says, I will reveal. I will reveal. The man knows not his own darkness. He sees the Word of God as being a book that he can't understand. And here God is saying, if you will but turn, I will enable you to understand. I will enable you to grasp. I will enable you to delight in. I will enable you to enjoy. Because I will pour my Spirit upon you. And is that not what we need today? Do we not need that in our community today? That God would pour His Spirit. Maybe if we take a wee step back, maybe it's not our community that needs it. Maybe we need it. Maybe we need it. Maybe we need to turn, not from a rebellion against God in terms of our not exercising faith, but maybe we need to turn from a rebellion against God in terms of our daily love for and obedience to Him. I was humbled so much during the week. I got an email from a woman whom I regard as a very, very godly woman. Her husband was a minister and is now at a stage in life where he can't even remember what he did 2 minutes ago. She was writing and she was saying about a book that she had read, a book that had challenged her about the sins in her life. She spoke of how easy it is in older life to become accustomed to living with your sins. She didn't send it to me to tell me that I had a problem. But when I read that, I thought, here is a godly woman. A godly, godly woman. A woman whose efforts have seen, in a very quiet way, many people blessed. A woman whose prayers were part of the forming of my life and my ministry here today. And there she is saying, when she should be saying, pity on me, my life, pity on me, all that I give to God, pity on me, why am I in this situation now? Pity on me. Not a word of pity. Not a word of pity. It was how easy it is to become complacent to the sins of our lives. Not a word of pity. Is it the case that we require a pouring out of the Spirit of God in our lives? That He would make His word known to us. Known to us. His word known to us. Not just read by us. Not just listened to by us. But actually that His word, that we would ingest it. That this would become something that we would live. That we would live. We would take these words and they would come off the page and they would actually go inside us and into our heads and our hearts and they would begin to frame the way we live and act. And here is the promise, the heartfelt promise. How long? How long? How long? I will turn to you. I will pour out my Spirit upon you. Here is God saying, you whom I have made, you to whom I have given life, you who live in rebellion against me, you whom I should destroy, I am calling you. I, because I love you, I'm crying out to you. I, because I delight in the creatures that I've made, I come to you and I say to you, come to me and I will pour my spirit upon you and I will give you understanding and I will give you wisdom and I will give you joy and I will give you delight. This is absolutely, unbelievably incredible. We are so quick when people don't deal with us the way that we want them to deal with us. We are so quick to cut them off. And here is God, the giver of life, taking those who have lived in willful, disgraceful rebellion against Him, those who have despised His love, and He still comes back, He still comes back, He still comes back, and He keeps on coming back, and He says, I know you have despised me, I know you have rejected me, I know you've turned your back on me, I know you're but a speck on the face of the earth, but if you will turn, then I will redeem you, then I will pour my spirit, and then you will see my work. What a plea, what a promise. But note, there's also a clear warning. I have called and you refuse to listen. I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. You have ignored all my counsel. Would have none of my reproof. There are those who will keep on rejecting. There will those who will hear the call, but they'll keep on refusing. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what they choose. God in His love and His mercy and His grace and His tenderness says, come and I will deliver you, whether from death to life or from that life that you have into a new freshness of that life in Christ. Come and I will deliver you. He stretches out His hand like the father stretches out His hand to the child. Come and I'll take you across the road. And the child puts their hand in their pockets. Father says to the child, this is the way to walk. This is the way to go. If you walk across the road on your own, the cars will come and they will take your life. And the infant child says, I don't want to know. And as the child steps out onto the road and the car is coming down the road, and the father says, child, that car is going to knock you down. And the child says, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear your counsel. I don't want to receive your love. I don't want to touch your hand. I don't want to know what you would say to me. I don't want to hear your rebuke. Even though it is because you love me. Even though it is for my good. Even though it is for my safety. And we're not just talking here about physical safety or emotion. We're talking about eternal realities here. Eternal realities. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Well, where does that leave the Father? Well, if you don't want to hear a call of love, if you rebuke and refuse to accept my hand, if you're choosing to ignore my counsel, and if you'll have none of my reproof, then on your head be it. And that's what God says. On your head be it. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call upon me. But I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Do you hear this warning? Do you hear this clarion call of God that you can only receive the mercy of God so much? And then there comes a point where God says, if you don't want to hear my voice, if you don't want to take my hand, if you don't want to receive my counsel, if you do not want to respond to my rebuke, then there comes a point where God says, on your head be it. And there'll come a time when you will call out to me, and you will cry out to me, and you will call with all the energy that you have, and your heart will cry with great gusto and great intent. But he says, I will not hear. I will not hear. I will not find you. What a warning. What a warning to any human being. What a statement. And the reason is clearly given. They hated my knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. There are many in our society whom we will speak to, and we will proclaim the message, and we will call to with the gospel, and we will say to them, come, and they will reject it, 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 and there'll come a day, when they will never, ever, ever hear it again. They will never hear it again. And there'll come a time after that when they'll be in real need, whatever that cause is, whether it's a relationship breakdown, whether it's a financially induced need, whether it's an emotional instability, whether it's a physical illness, and they will come and they will plead with God. They will plead, God, where are you now? And God will say, I don't want you. I'm not listening. I'm not coming. You have despised and rejected me, and despised and rejected me, and you have despised and rejected me, and now you have the fruit. You have the fruit of the decisions which you made. You will eat of your own choices. What a warning. What a solemn warning. And I would say to any in this building today who profess faith in Jesus Christ, and yet you do not have a love for Jesus Christ, you do not have a heart for Jesus Christ, you need to be very, very careful for fear that one day Jesus will say to you, I'm not listening to you anymore. You've come and you've declared this and you've declared that and you've said this and you've said that, but you haven't really honestly engaged with me. You've not sought me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. You have not really, really embraced me. You have taken my hand and you put your hand in your pockets. You have refused to take my counsel. You have refused to take my rebuke. You have repeatedly spurned my love. Well, now you eat of the fruit. You eat of the fruit. You eat of the fruit. You eat of the fruit that you have grown. And what a warning that is to us. The God of love would give us all His Spirit, His Word, with a heart that comes crying to us. The rejection of it does not go unnoticed. And we who are believers in Christ need to heed this as well. We need to heed this. We need to heed it. But whilst God will never let us go out of His hand, there is fruit to be born. And whatever that fruit is of our lives, we will eat of that fruit. Whatever decisions we make in our lives, they will bear a fruit. And whatever though that fruit is, then we will eat of that fruit. And if those decisions are based on a continual saying to God, yeah, not today but tomorrow, I'll sort that out tomorrow. I'll deal with my relationship with you tomorrow. If we keep on saying to God, tomorrow, 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 there'll come a time when God will say, yes, you're one of my kingdom. But, you will eat of the fruit of your life. If we do not listen to what God says, if we do not take heed to what God says, there is real, real consequences. And I would say to you that you need to take real care. For you know that you hear the word of God preached here. You know that what is said from this pulpit Lord's Day morning and Lord's Day evening is taken directly out of this word. And if you hear this word and you do not respond to it with tenderness and humility of heart, if you keep on rebelling against it, whether you don't hear it properly or whether you do hear it and don't apply it, whether you don't engage with it because of whatever reason you have in your life, I say to you, you need to be very, very careful. And that's not saying that there's anything I can do. I can do nothing. That's not a threat. It's not a saying that you need to be careful because you don't listen to it. I'm going to do something. There's nothing I can do. I have to heed it the same way as I call you to heed it. But you need to take great care. You need to take great care that you just don't allow it to go past you. Because whatever you sow, you will reap. And you can blame other people, you can blame your circumstances, you can blame anything you want. But whatever you sow, you will reap. You need to take great care. A saving message proclaimed, a heartfelt promise issued, a clear warning given. Amen.